welcome to another installment of Casual Trekker. I'm Scott. This is a pretty late review of the latest episode, seeing how the next one drops in a few short hours. But as it was announced just a couple days ago now, that this episode is going to serve as the mid-season finale. So we're going to go from episode 7 tonight with a pause, and then we're going to finish out the 5 remaining episodes, I believe it is, of Prodigy. And then we're going to get the last part of Discovery, and then probably it's going to go into Picard. At first I was like, I don't want to leave the Dark Matter anomaly. And then I'm like, well, maybe it could be a good thing, because then we're going to have a little bit of time to figure out things, all the theories and everything else. And plus it kind of gives us more Discovery later, rather than just burning through it all right now. So, and plus we get to go back to Prodigy to see what they're going to do. So I want to see if we're going to go back to Tutti Kotei. I want to see what that's going to look like. Because going forward now that they pretty much in Prodigy made it to be where they could go wherever and do whatever, and the person doesn't necessarily know where they are. So it frees them up to do adventures that have nothing to do with the Divine or anything like that. So that part is kind of cool. Not a fan of the whole break though, but I will deal, because you're still getting started. It's not like we're getting ripped off to where you have like nothing, so it is what it is, it's fine. This latest episode though, I was actually pretty shocked, because Discovery has a history, like a really big history of wanting to go somewhere, take an episode of talking, and then at the very end of it, then they go to it, and then you get in the next episode. So I was absolutely amazed that the episode starts, then we go into the damn thing, which I thought was great. And then, it literally serves as a bottle show. A bottle episode, because there's no guest stars in it, to my knowledge. And then the special effects are only when they're going in and going out, and a little bit of what was happening with the dot out in space. So I'm hoping that the saving of the money is reflected in the future episodes. So it was nice. It was just a quick little thing. There wasn't a lot going on, and then we found out that something is in there eating it or whatever. So the dot, at least. And then also devouring the Discovery on top of that. So it was quite interesting. And then this, what was going on with Burnham being on the ship, acting, hanging out with Zora, which is another cool thing. We got a lot of Zora this episode. A lot, which is good. Before, he's just like sprinkled in there, like, hey Zora, what's up, and then go about your business and she's gone. This one was a fair share. If you were just a casual person that's walking by watching it while you're making dinner or whatever, you'd know Zora was in the episode. You wouldn't miss the Zora stuff, because it was kind of all over the place. And I thought it was kind of cool when they went into the buffer. It immediately reminded me of Scotty in Relics going into the buffer. And I am grateful that nothing went wrong with the pattern buffer, because that was a lot of signal to have in there, and all of a sudden your pattern buffer relay switch gets turned off or something. That would be kind of dangerous. But you can't have and comply, everything can't be Armageddon and everything. So you gotta give leeway to say that nothing bad is going to happen. There's a little bit of pushback of why didn't Burnham go into the thing. Well, Zora's not necessarily the computer of the Discovery. It's the sphere data mixed in there a little bit. She has her own personality, her own little quirks. So, had something gone south in the interim before Burnham passed out, firm could correct it or change it, because kind of guided in that they don't necessarily trust her all the way. They want to make sure that it's going to go the right way, because if she goes in the buffer and something happens, they're all dead. That's just toast. You know, we, the viewer, benefit from the fact that we know it's going to happen, but in the universe, inside the episode, they don't. So that's how you got to really view it. You take away the fact that you know how it's going to end. It's like that episode with Rasmussen or whatever it was, when he stops in front of the Enterprise D, and then they're all trying to get information out of them about what's going to happen, because he knows and they don't. And no matter what they do, he just can't tell them, because he literally can't. But in this situation, we are the ones that do know, and they don't. And that's going to always be the case every time you watch the episode, no matter how many times. They don't know what's going to happen. So is the action that they're doing, does it make sense with what's going on? And it did. I mean, there's been situations where they don't trust a computer all the way back in TNG, when Geordi LaForge and Leah Brahms suggested it to Picard about turning the computer, and that wasn't even sentient. Riker himself said that they don't understand that it doesn't have a human aspect of wanting to live. So Zora might not necessarily share a view on an option. So you would want to have that human component, which is what Burnham was. She didn't plan to pass out. Her plan was to stay awake. If they had said, by the way, you're going to pass out 5 minutes later, probably, you know what, I'm just going to go in the buffer. But she did plan to pass out. That was just an accident. She was planning to stay along for the ride. So she was fine. I have no issue with Burnham. I have no issue with Discovery. I have no issue with any of the actors or any of that stuff. I thought it was a really, really good episode. I just hope that tonight's episode is going to make sense as a cliffhanger, essentially, because that's pretty much what it's serving as for the next 5 weeks, is that. So I hope it's going to be like something like, wow, holy cow. Like from the preview where they're talking about when they're at that circular thing and they're having a conversation, there's a lot of information about what they've been doing outside of what Federation is doing and what we're seeing Discovery doing. We're seeing other people are doing things that are impacting the DMA. So it's not just the Federation, and we're seeing all that stuff that they're doing. Other things that are happening out of our view. So I thought that was pretty cool in the preview that I saw, that they were conveying that other things are happening. There's other pieces on the board moving and making moves to see what the DMA is about. But overall, I thought it was a really good episode. Season 4, so far, it's overall okay. I mean, am I gonna say that season 1 is less than it? Season 2, as I said before in previous videos, I don't share the idea that Discovery was bad in season 1 or was bad in season 2. I take my own personal nonsense and I just shove it out of damn airlock. We got people complaining about canon and this, that, and the other, and I'm like, they mention Enterprise enough, and they even show the NX-01 in this, that because in First Contact, an episode sequeled in Enterprise, you could argue that when Picard and them went back to 2063, they created this new timeline which exists for Enterprise. And if you continue to go forward, you're going to see differences because of that incursion. It's like a snowball. It starts out small, right where you started, and then as you roll, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, could the Enterprise be designed differently? Because how do the designers know what a different timeline is going to design? I mean, seriously, how's that? If I go back in time before I make the podcast, and then I listen to the podcast after I make something fall over, am I going to say the same thing? No, I'm not, because something fell. It distracted me. It changed my line of thought, and now I'm going to be thinking about something different, maybe. It's going to be different. It's going to unfold differently than what I remember because of what I did. But I'm not going to know what the other version of myself said. And it gets confusing when you start talking like that. But you just ignore that part of it and just keep going with what you're doing. So, First Contact, Enterprise, Discovery, and now Strange New Worlds could be the visual update alteration because of all the stuff that was happening keeps on going. And then Picard could legitimately, I guess, say that it is after that, and that the reason why there's differences we remember of TNG, like for instance Data's daughter, Lal, not ever being mentioned, is he just didn't go to that conference, possibly, in this timeline. And so he never did the whole daughter thing. He just made the painting, and he never actually did it. I mean, I think maybe there should be like a tie-in book on that. Like they do a flashback where we see the event now in this new continuity. That way it's not like a glaring red flag of, wait a minute, where's Lal at? Why is that different? How come no one remembers her? So, I mean, I could, it's debatable on where Picard exists in the continuity, but because it's mentioned in Discovery about his golem body, and because Archer is mentioned, and his ship is seen several times, not the ship, his name is mentioned several times, and you see the NX-01, and they mention Picard, so it's tied together on that. So we could legitimately just be seeing a continuity started. It's not even the Discovery verse. It's not any of those. It's First Contact verse, created by Jean-Luc Picard, going forth from 2063, and that's 300 years. So a lot of things could be slightly marginally different. Doesn't need to be held to a crazy standard. And as far as the look, like in TOS, for instance, how the Enterprise looked a certain way, and how this looked, and why they could do this in the mirror darkling, and this, that, and the other. Well, the Tholian Web episode was in TOS, which is before any time travel. That carried to a different universe. So the ship's now in a different universe. So when you change time, it's going to still be in that different universe. It's not going to change. It's not going to update its look. So the ship as it looked in TOS is how it's going to look in Enterprise, and how the ship's going to, all the ships are going to look in DS9 Tribal Tribulations, whatever it's called. But after that episode with Sisko is the last time that we see the NX-01 as is. Everything else existed before, even Enterprise, which came after, was a ship that went into that other universe in TOS. So it's completely separate. It's no longer held to a standard of what happened in that timeline. So one could argue that while it's different, it's allowed to be the same. We don't even know how many times really Burnham's mom changed the timeline. It could be drastically for all we know. I mean, from the way that it's being set up, all these different variations of the timeline isn't even Prime anymore. Prime was created by Michael Burnham, saving the world from being whatever it was, void of any human life. Her doing what she did caused it to happen. And the whole Zora evolution, the AI thing, and how it connects to Calypso is, I think it's simply, you could argue that it's a different universe, because you have two options. One, you could put the ship into the nebula and have 1,000 years, or you go ahead 1,000 years. So they could say that it was put into a different universe. They made a different choice. And so we are seeing the future of that universe. They never went ahead. So in a different universe, those events played out differently, and that's what you saw in Calypso. It's easier to do it like that than it is to try to figure out how to make the 1031A all of a sudden now be the original one again. You have to have a convoluted story on how that happens. I mean, you can make it where you got like undercover, or maybe they had to go back in time and do something, so they had to change their ship to look back to modernized version, and then eventually played out to where they couldn't go back, and they had to go to a nebula, and they were able to go back, but they couldn't take the ship with them. I mean, that's the thing that could possibly happen. I mean, now that I'm talking about it right now, that makes a lot of sense. So you could have an episode in a future season. Doesn't even have to be this season. It could be the next season. Whatever season their last one's going to be. Their series finale. They could have to travel backwards in time. And then while there, they make the ship look like it's the regular ship from 2256. And something happens to where they can no longer go backwards. But the crew can. So they find a nebula to sit it in. And then they go ahead 1,000 years back to the year that they left. And then Vance brings them to that nebula where the Discovery is. And then they uncamouflage it and then take it on like it was no big and they never really left. You could do it like that. That would make sense. I mean, is that called sloppy writing? I mean, we can go show by show, episode by episode, and we can really discern what sloppy writing is. We're going to hold Discovery to a ridiculously crazy high standard, then we need to also do the same standard to TOS, TNG, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise. Every single time there's sloppy writing, you do a tick mark. Remember, there are 7 seasons of TNG, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. 7 seasons. We only have 40-some-odd episodes of Discovery, so... Which series has a better chance of having more sloppy writing? Discovery or one of the 3 that has 7 seasons? So, I don't prescribe to the Discovery is bad because of these reasons, and then I ignore things from previous shows. If I'm going to hold Discovery to a certain standard, I got to hold the whole damn franchise to the same standard. So, either A, I look at it equally, or I'm an asshole. And I'm not an asshole, so... I'm going to criticize Discovery. I got to criticize certain episodes of a Voyager. But in a whole, usually every episode of any Star Trek show has good stuff to it. It's not bad just because of that plot point didn't make sense to you. Because really, who cares? Just because you don't enjoy it doesn't mean that someone else didn't. Just because you didn't get it or you didn't see the logic in it, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you think, really. If you didn't enjoy it, great. Someone else did. Find something in the episode that you did like. Like in this episode, some people might not have liked that they just went into darkness and nothing was there. And that was sloppy writing and it was just stupid and nothing happened. It was just wasting time. You know, others might go, oh, it's really cool. They did this thing and they went into the thing and the thing was being ate and the ship was being ate and the thing blew up and the guy got sucked out. And oh my God, it was crazy. You know, it was just... variations on a theme of how people are taking the episode. So you find what you do like, and then you just embrace it. Because we want more Discovery, we want more Picard, we want more Strange New Worlds, we want more Lower Decks, we want more Prodigy. More, 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 more. Me taking a piss on it isn't gonna make that happen. If I want them to follow canon, then I gotta figure out what canon I want them to follow. Because you got various different timelines that are all canon inside of Star Trek. Yes, there's Enterprise. Whole different canon about the Enterprise C coming ahead and the D being in a militarized ship and Tasha Yar now being alive. That's canon. That whole damn timeline is canon. Because it's in an episode of Star Trek TNG. The episode in DS9 where Miles' daughter does her thing and gets trapped in the thing and comes back as an old person. That's canon. But then they undid it to where the girl was there. But while it's happening, it's canon. So, it's frustrating when people have to make canon be, like, ridiculous. Like, sure, you consider it to be a period piece, but the minute you travel backwards in time, you have the option of saying, well, now because of this, this happened. Legitimately, Deep Space Nine, Season 5, episode whatever, Trial of Tribulations, is the last time we see the TOS look of the USS Enterprise. Right after that, next week actually, from the air date, Voyager had its two-part Future's End, where they went back in time to 1996, and they did whatever, and they updated computers, and they changed a whole lot of crap. And then I think it's 2 weeks later after that, First Contact came out, where they went back to 2063, and they blew up all that stuff, and the Borg sphere was there. So they've changed a lot of things that take place before TOS. When we're watching TOS, we're not watching TOS as if those events transpired. We're watching TOS before it did. So when we're watching the first episode of the original series, that is in a timeline before the alteration. Just like in the Kelvin timeline, when Spock goes back in 2387 to 2230, whatever it is. You could put a countdown clock in the original series to when Spock goes back in time, because he has not done it yet. Only when he does it create that alternate time. If you're watching an episode before he did it, if you're watching like TNG Unification Part 1 and 2, Spock has not gone back in time yet. Once you watch 2009, he's going back in time, creating that parallel universe, timeline, whatever we want to loosely call it. It's no different than yesterday's Enterprise. It's the same exact thing. Or Star Trek 4, where they go around the sun. I mean, it's just a mechanism to make them go back in time. I mean, it's a science fiction thing. There's no real concrete thing of what happens when you do that. Do you change your own past? Do you create a branch timeline? Does it go, keep on going? I mean, there's no way to really tell. But you can just stay with true to the logic inside of the show you're doing. Yesterday's Enterprise is a prime example of how different things can be. In Yesterday's Enterprise, there was no encounter at Farpoint. Tasha Yar didn't die on the planet in Skin of Evil. So different things were transpiring because the Enterprise C came ahead. And because it happened on the Enterprise C side, that was the normal evolution of the timeline. That's how it was supposed to be. It's just like cause and effect, where the Bozeman comes ahead and like, hey, Captain, you know what year it is? And they just stayed there. It's exactly what it is. But in this case, they went back, creating the timeline that we've been watching. Yesterday's Enterprise is a really great episode, but it literally creates the timeline that we enjoy. Encounter 4.0 all the way on up until Yesterday's Enterprise only exists because Picard sent the ship back. If you didn't do that, there would be none of that stuff. And that's canon. So the time travel, the timelines, and how things are happening and how things look. I mean, it's just, you don't like the show, you're going to find a reason to complain about it. When Strange New World comes out, it's on the ever-loving Enterprise before Kirk gets it, so you can't go crazy. So it's going to be subject to a whole bunch of paranoia and freakouts, and that didn't happen in my canon, and you can't appease everybody. But what you can do is just enjoy the episode. And speaking of the episode, I thought it was good. I thought every episode so far in season 4 has been really good. Do I wish they tightened it up a little bit and had a little bit more DMA action? Of course. That's the main problem that they have to figure out. And it was nice to see that round table of that there were in this preview that they've been doing things that we don't see, which was nice. You want to see that happening. Like if my house is on fire, I'm not going to go to the store and buy some soda. Like, if my house is flooding, I'm not going to go take a trip to Hawaii. I gotta fix the problem at hand. The DMA is the problem at hand. It's big and can vanish and go wherever it wants to go. So a lot of side projects, probably not the best bet, will make the most sense with what's happening because of how small the Federation is right now and how they're trying to get people to come into it. So it stretches, believability, almost. So the fact that they had that round table showing that people are doing things, then it kind of helped make it to be where, okay, Discovery can go and do these other things because other people are doing things. You kind of saw that when the guy came on and was trying to do that project. So other people are doing things also. It's being pushed ahead, but it's not being seen by us. And that can be a good thing, because a lot of people complain that Discovery is like a godlike thing. They figured it all out, and it's all fine, and only the Discovery crew can do it. But as I recall, every single episode of TNG had the same thing. I mean, I just saw an episode of TNG last night where they were being probed by that thing on the Iconians, and the ship transferred their thing over or whatever, and it was slowly turning their ship off. Did they send a shuttle to the Federation? Did they do anything to try to get off of the ship to go to the Federation? No, they didn't. They were trying to figure it out on their own, and they did. But it could have easily gone the other way. Only because you know how it's going to end doesn't make it okay with what they did. But if you didn't know that was going to happen, it was pretty crazy that they were just risking 1,000 lives every single second that was happening. Did I not like the episode? Of course I did. I love the episode. It's one of my favorites. But are there things that I can pick apart and say, why did they do that? You betcha. Or like the Bynars, which is an example of the warrior nun person that put herself into that one guy's, the one culture's mindset of saving their race. The Bynars took control of the Enterprise because they couldn't worry about someone saying no, they didn't have time. Well, she didn't have time, she had to do this, otherwise something bad was going to happen. Bynar, same way. No one's criticizing anything on that, so that means that the warrior nuns had the same right to do what the Bynars did. Because in and of themselves, playing it as if it's live, they don't know that they're going to say yes. They just think, shoot, if they say no, this is going to happen. And that's not worth the risk. Same thing with the warrior nun. So, a lot of the issues and the problems and the frustrations, when you compare it to a different episode that's similar in the canon, then you kind of like, oh, whoops, they did it too and I was fine with it. Then why am I so mad about Discovery doing it? Well, maybe it's because you just don't like Discovery and you're going to get a little bit more picky on it, which is fine. But that shouldn't make it to where you can't find something in an episode that's fun. In an episode, they introduced an alien race. They had a flippin' ship, planet as a ship, whatever it was. And the alien race wasn't known to the Federation, which was, like, really cool. Okay, new race here. And a really good close-up of it, too. So, allowing for you maybe to do, like, a side novel somewhere. Based on the Discovery chronology. So there's a lot of good things coming from Discovery, and I mean of all the four seasons, I mean I enjoy them all equally. I'm not a big fan of Klingons. I don't like them. I don't even like Worf. Every episode that Worf is in, besides Parallels, I could just skip. Really, I mean I can just skip it almost because it doesn't really do anything for me. Because I don't care about the Klingon culture. I don't really give a shit. But the parallels I like. Maybe I'm being a little too harsh. I like what I see. I want to just keep on going. I don't know. It's hard to explain. The episodes involving Klingons, I just don't really care for. I can find things in them that I like, but I just really don't care for it too much. Like, I was really hoping Parallels, you know, would be, like, with Riker or something. Or maybe Data. It'd be kind of cool seeing Riker being, like, Lieutenant instead, for instance. Or maybe being Admiral or being a Captain. Like, whole new ship. Just a lot of switcheroo and crazy weird stuff. And it was cool with Worf. But I just been cool with more. But I digress. Season 1, Season 2, Season 3, Season 4 of Discovery. Super good, really great production value. Cinematography is amazing. Every episode is like a movie. Like how they had to change the Enterprise D because of the widescreens, they added a bunch of things and put a bunch of consoles on the bridge and the lighting, it was dark in the waiting room for some ungodly reason. The most irritating scene of that entire Star Trek Generations is when he was in the weighing room and the room was dark. I'm like, what, did they forget to pay their light bill that day or something? It just bugged me. But Discovery, if they were to make a movie, they would change nothing. It would be exactly what you're seeing right there, just on the big screen. So I think that of all the things that Discovery can be faulted for, it doing wrong or inappropriately or just kind of like missing the mark, it's done by people trying to write stuff that we'll enjoy. I mean, even if you were to write a script, there's going to be someone that'll pick it apart. If you make a fan film, there's someone that's going to pick it apart. I mean, you can't make everybody happy. I mean, you can try, but you're going to fail. This is how it happens, especially in some Star Trek circles. They're really negative, just for the sake of it. Like when TNG came out, super negative. Now everyone loves it. So I think with Discovery, history will be kinder to it, because it is pushing it ahead. It's not getting stuck in the dirt and going round, round, round. I remember when Picard was gonna come out, and they were like, oh, Picard's gonna be so much better than Discovery. I'm gonna make Discovery what? And then Picard came out, and people were like, Picard what? I'd rather watch Discovery. So, you never know. You never know what's gonna happen. And, you know, I'm a fan of Picard. I'm a fan of Picard season one. A lot of stuff was cool. Data, Hugh, Riker, Troy. You got to see a little bit more of the family dynamic. The most important part is we got a lot of what happened after Nemesis out of the way. We got to see everything from that moment on, and then Prodigy and Lower Decks are now filling it out a little bit. But we now know what happened from 2379 all the way to 2399. We know in depth, and now they can write books based on that stuff happening. So there could be a lot of cool things happening. Like you might even get in and of the moment of what happened on Mars. So there's a lot of potential with what's happening, especially if it's licensed through the thing. So it's not necessarily alpha canon, but it's until they say something, it's alpha canon pretty much. But long story short, this is a much longer podcast than I had intended, but yeah, I had fun, and it's been a long time since I've had a chance to just talk Star Trek. So in closing, really good episode. Can't wait for tonight, and tonight is the mid-season finale. So this will conclude this podcast.